afraid of the dark. Just relax and let the darkness fall over you.
Welcome to Afraidish, a podcast where we take a deep dive into the history and paranormal while enjoying some tasty adult beverages. From ghost sightings to hauntings, urban legends and cryptids, let's get weird and afraid-ish together. Welcome to episode 31, the second of our Halloween series. I'm Paul.
And I'm Ashley.
Hi.
Hello.
How are we doing?
Alive.
I still need to decorate our porch for the Halloween season.
Yep.
And clean it off. All right.
Okay.
Do you have anything before we get started?
I don't.
Okay. We never do.
No. Whatever. Oh, what are you drinking?
Oh, yeah. I am drinking a beatbox, the Tropical Punch beatbox.
What else would you drink?
Well, it's delicious.
And I am drinking a Monaco.
That looks good.
That is pretty good. I mean, it's all right.
Yeah.
For like a $4 gas station drink.
Yeah. Well, before this Tropical Punch, I had the Pink Lemonade beatbox.
So you should be pretty toasted.
Yeah. It's going to be a fun episode.
I hope so.
All right, let's get started.
Okay.
Here are five fun facts about cryptids.
Ooh, exciting.
You can guess what this episode's about.
I don't know.
five fun facts. Number one, the term cryptid was coined in 1981 by zoologist John A. Keel to describe any animal that has been claimed to exist but has not been scientifically verified.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty interesting. I didn't know that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I don't know. I have thoughts, but I can't gather them coherently right now, but just know I have thoughts.
All right. Okay.
If anybody cares, I have thoughts. Just don't know what they are.
Yeah. Number two. While there is no scientific evidence to support the existence of cryptids, many people believe that they are real. Cryptozoologists are scientists who study cryptids, and they have amassed a large body of evidence, including eyewitness accounts, photographs, and footprints.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
Pretty cool.
Gotta have scientific evidence that things exist.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever.
Number three, some people believe that cryptids are simply unknown animals that have yet to be discovered by science.
Mm-hmm.
Others believe that cryptids are supernatural creatures or even aliens.
What if it's all of the above?
Yeah, and then they come out from a different dimension, just like Bigfoot.
Well, like, you hear stories of, like, people getting lost in the fairy mounds. And...
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a real thing.
I'm just saying. You know?
I mean, you lose shit around the house. Who's taking that shit?
Oh my God, what's the guy's name? I literally just watched Halloween Town.
It's
Glorp? No.
No, what's his name? If anybody's seen Halloween Town, there's a guy that has like...
Where do lost things go in Halloween Town? Gort's house.
Gort's house, yeah.
Thank you, Google.
Anyways.
Okay.
They either go to Gort's house or...
A fairy mound.
Or...
A she.
Something takes them. I don't know. Number four. Some cryptids have been featured in popular cultures such as Bigfoot in the Harry and the Hendersons movie and the Loch Ness Monster in the movie The Creature from the Black Lagoon. I love... Harry and the Hendersons. That is a really good movie.
I just keep thinking how it's like a spoof on White Fang.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We need to have the boys watch Harry and the Hendersons.
Yeah.
They'd like that. Number five. There are over 100 different cryptids that have been reported around the world.
Wow.
Yeah.
That low.
I know.
Seems like it should be a bigger number.
Well, I mean, that makes sense. About 100, because you got, I'm not going to name them off, but there's
a lot, but I'm just surprised that it's only 100 around the world.
Yeah.
Like, I could see 100 in the States just alone, but, you know, whatever.
All right. Now let's search the woods for some cryptids.
Ooh.
Yeah. In the heart of the dense Ozark Mountains, a place shrouded in mystery and ancient folklore, there lurked a creature that had been the subject of whispered tales and unsettling campfire stories for generations. It was known as the Ozark Howler, a.k.a. the Nixa Hellhound, a beast whose very name sent shivers down the spines of those who dared to speak it aloud.
Hmm.
The Ozark Howler legend is a folktale about a mysterious creature that is said to live in the Ozark Mountains region of the United States. The creature is typically described as a large wolf-like... Oh my god. The creature is typically described as large and wolf-like, with gray or black shaggy coat and glowing red eyes. It is also said to have a piercing howl that can be heard for miles.
Wow.
The Ozark Howler is often associated with death and misfortune. Some people believe that hearing the creature's howl is a sign of imminent death.
Mm-hmm. So like a banshee.
Yeah, basically.
How far does this date back? Did you say? Did I miss that?
I'm not sure. It's just like folklore from like...
From how long ago? 50 years? 200? 300?
I'm guessing
5,000 years?
However long people have been in the Ozarks. Like...
White people or...
Native, probably from native...
That's...
Peoples.
Is there confirmation?
No, that... these are cryptid stories.
Okay.
I don't know.
I'm sorry. I'm not trying to like grill you. I was curious.
Well, yeah, I mean, I've read...
Did...
I don't know how true this is, but I've read like some stuff about how the native people from... the Ozark area told these tales, but
you
know, it's not.
Is that like, is it true or is it just like, oh yeah, I heard a Native American legend about my great grandma who was a Cherokee princess told me once.
It's just like, are cryptids actually real?
Yeah, but that's so, what I'm asking. Like,
I don't know. It's just said there's stories.
You didn't.
I tried to look. It's just.
Okay, fine. Okay.
Articles saying.
Okay.
It could potentially be from native cultures in the Ozark area.
Okay.
I don't know. Where was I? It is also said that to have a piercing howl that can be heard for miles. The Ozark Howler is often associated with death and misfortune from people. Some people believe that hearing the creature's howl is a sign of imminent death. Others believe that the Ozark Howler is a shapeshifter that can take on the form of a human. In some stories, the Ozark Howler is said to be a demon that has come to torment the living.
Hmm.
There are many different variations of the Ozark Howler legend. Some stories say that the creature is a remnant of a long extinct species, such as a dire wolf or saber-toothed cat. Others say that it is a hybrid of two known animals, such as a mountain lion and a wolf.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know a canine and a...
I was just going to say, a cat and a dog, huh?
I don't know.
Didn't they make a Nickelodeon cartoon about that in the 90s? Cat-dog?
Cat-dog. Yeah, I think so, yeah.
No, I'm... Yes, they did. Being facetious.
Still, others believe that the Ozark Howler is a supernatural creature, such as a demon or ghost.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about the ghost thing, but...
It depends on how you define a ghost. If your definition is extremely broad and not specific at all, sure.
Yeah. A story was told that the Howler only emerged when the moon hung low in the sky, casting an eerie glow over the tangled underbrush and twisted trees of the Ozark wilderness. It would silently stalk its prey, moving with a grace that bellied its enormous size.
Belied
its enormous size. I don't know how to read. Those who had claimed to have encountered it described it as a creature that was part wolf, part panther, and part demon. One autumn evening, as the leaves began to turn fiery red and gold, a group of adventurous friends decided to embark on a camping trip deep within the heart of the Ozark Mountains.
I know where this is going. This is the reason I don't camp.
Yeah. They were fearless, or perhaps just naive, and had heard the legends of the Ozark Howler from their grandparents. To them, it was merely a thrilling story to enhance their outdoor escapade. Mm-hmm. As the sun dipped below the horizon and the night settled in, the group gathered around their crackling campfire, their laughter and the clinking of beer bottles filling the air. Uh-huh. It was a night like any other night, until a faint, hair-raising sound began to drift through the woods. Sounds like one of the bonfires I went to when I was a teenager, early 20s.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Fun times.
Do you go to spooky bonfires?
Yeah.
I never went to a bonfire. I wasn't allowed.
I mostly drank and didn't pay attention to the surroundings.
That's a recipe for safety, huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
Anyways.
Golly gee.
At first, they dismissed it as a trick of the wind or the distant cry of a coyote, but the howling grew louder and more sinister with each passing moment. The campfire's glow flickered and waned, casting eerie shadows that danced across the trees. As the campers exchanged nervous glances, the howling reached a fevered pitch, vibrating through their bones. The once bold adventurers now felt a chill of dread that clawed at their hearts. They realized that the legends of the Ozark Howler were not mere stories, but a terrifying reality. Panicked and trembling, they scrambled to extinguish their fire, hoping to hide in the cloak of darkness. But it was too late. Emerging from the shadows was the dreaded Ozark Howler, its enormous form illuminated by the faint moonlight. It stared at them with its burning eyes, a grotesque fusion of feral power and malevolence. Frozen in terror, they could only watch as it let out one final bone-chilling howl that seemed to pierce their fairy souls. Then, as swiftly as it had appeared, the howler retreated into the depths of the forest, leaving the campers shaken and traumatized. The legend of the Ozark Howler had become all too real for them, an encounter they would never forget. From that night on, they became the bearers of a chilling tale, a first-hand account of the fearsome creature that roamed the Ozark Mountains.
Sure, Jan.
Yeah.
You mean to tell me that you went camping, met the Ozark Howler, and it just fucking left you alone?
Yeah, I mean, maybe it was the number of the campers, and I don't know.
Maybe they fucking made it up.
These are just... Why do you gotta poo-poo on my tails? Come on.
I'd believe it more if it was like, and it ran off with one of our fellow campers, and we never saw him again.
Maybe I should have added that part.
I don't know.
It took Kenny. Okay. It took Kenny. It killed Kenny, goddammit.
Oh my god.
Anyways. Alright. Here is a more popular story of the Ozark Howler legend. The Ozark Howler and the Lost Hunter. There was a hunter who went into the Ozark Mountains to hunt deer. He got lost in the woods and wandered for days. One night he heard a loud howling sound. He had never heard anything like it before. The sound was so terrifying that he hid in a tree. The hunter stayed in the tree all night listening to the howling. In the morning, he climbed down and started walking again. He walked for hours, but he couldn't find his way out of the woods. One night, the hunter heard the howling again. This time, it was closer. He climbed into another tree and hid.
Don't you have a gun, pal?
Yeah.
Why are you so afraid? Isn't your gun going to protect you?
He probably hasn't seen it yet, so.
Probably never shot his gun before.
Calm down. The howling got louder and louder. The hunter is so scared that he could barely breathe. Suddenly, the hunter saw a pair of glowing red eyes in the darkness. He looked up and saw a large, wolf-like creature with shaggy black fur. The creature opened its mouth and let out a blood-curdling howl. The hunter was so scared that he fell out of the tree. He ran as fast as he could, but the creature was faster. The creature chased the hunter through the woods until he finally collapsed from exhaustion. The creature stood over the hunter and opened its mouth to attack, but then, just as the hunter thought he was about to die, he heard a gunshot. The creature fell to the ground dead. The hunter looked up and saw a man standing over him. The man was a ranger who had been searching for the hunter since he went missing. The ranger told the hunter that the creature he had seen was the Ozark Howler. He said that the Ozark Howler is a dangerous creature that is known to attack humans. The hunter was grateful to the ranger for saving his life. He never went hunting in the Ozark Mountains again. The Ozark Howler legend is a reminder of the dangers of the wilderness and the importance of respecting nature. It is also a cautionary tale about the dangers of getting lost in the woods.
I'm just curious. I mean, this is a question that has really bothered me. Where do people go hunting? I was given the impression that you have to know someone who owns land that will give you permission to hunt on their land.
You can hunt on public
land. You can.
Yes, but
I'm not allowed to take rocks home from public parks, but people can take dead animals home from public parks that they shoot in public parks.
They have like deer tags and licenses.
Oh, I get that.
To do so. So
can I get a license to take rocks and sticks home? Oh my god. I'm just being a brat. Chill. No, but you can hunt on public land.
Yeah, if you have like the proper licenses
and tags. And I didn't know that.
If you do have friends with private land, yeah, you can hunt on their land.
Because I was like, why are you going hunting? How are you going hunting somewhere that you don't know where you're going? Like also and by yourself. Like, that's not very smart. That's not responsible gun ownership.
I mean, people around here are so dumb. They go hunting on their own all the time.
That doesn't make, like, that's not safe to me. Period.
People do it all the time. I don't know.
You shouldn't do it all the time. That's not safe. That's not common sense. That's how you get lost.
It's how you thin the herd, woman.
Okay, well, say the quiet part out loud, then.
Sorry. All right. Here's a cryptid I've never heard about. The Moss Man.
Oh.
Not Mothman. Moss
Man. I heard Moss.
Is a cryptid or legendary creature that is said to inhabit the swamps and forests of Florida.
I mean, if you were going to find a Moss Man, that's where I was thinking is either Florida or Louisiana. Yeah.
It is described as a tall humanoid creature covered in green moss or foliage rather than hair. Its eyes are amber in color and glow in the night, giving it an eerie stare. The legend of the Moss Man may date back to the 1500s when indigenous tribes around the Crystal River area passed down stories from seeing a large creature covered in moss with eyes that burned like fire.
Huh.
More recently, there have been numerous reports of people seeing a large biped covered with foliage and shining amber eyes. There are also many different stories about the Moss Man, but one of the most popular is that it is the spirit of a Native American princess who is ravaged. I didn't use the other R word.
Oh, okay.
And killed by Spanish conquistadors.
Uh-huh.
Her spirit is said to have infused the vegetation of the swamp, creating the Moss Man.
Mm.
Another story is that the Moss Man is a witch doctor's creation, brought to life to kill any remaining Spaniards in the region.
Oh.
Still others believe that the Moss Man is simply a Bigfoot or other ape-like creature covered in moss.
Mm-hmm.
Could be.
I mean, so my first initial thought when you described a man covered in moss and foliage, I was like, oh, it's like a camouflage suit.
Yeah.
Like, that's exactly a camouflage suit. Yeah. Like, what if it's just like a ghost of a Native American hunter that died hunting alone because yeah. he tripped on his bow and it? No, I'm being an asshole, but...
Anyways, yeah.
No, but like, what if... Or what if it's a live human being who's just like, get off my lawn, and he wants to scare the kids with a moth suit?
For several hundred years?
Maybe he heard the legend and...
Maybe.
He was like, I can do that.
One sighting occurred in the late 1800s. Clay County Sheriff Peeler led a posse on a search for a large man-like beast with a rank odor and covered with swamp grass. The posse never did catch up with the creature, but they did kill a few big gators.
Hmm. I mean, still feels like public service to me.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. One of the most famous Mothman sightings occurred in 1978. A couple was enjoying a night on the beach when they saw a human-shaped figure lying down by the rocks. They didn't think much of it at first, but then the figure stood up and stared at them with its glowing red eyes. The couple scrambled to their feet and ran away, but when they looked back, the figure was gone. All that remained was a bit of Spanish moss.
Hmm.
Another sighting occurred in 2012 when a group of campers were staying in a remote area of the Florida Everglades. They were awakened in the middle of the night by a loud noise coming from their outside of their tent. When they went to investigate, they saw a large moss-covered creature standing over their campfire. The creature stared at them for a moment, then turned and disappeared into the woods. The Mothman is often described as being shy and reclusive, and it is said to avoid contact with humans. However, there have been a few reports of Mothman attacks. In one case, a man was hiking in the woods near Gainesville, Florida, when he was attacked by a Mothman. The man was able to escape with his life, but he was badly injured. The Mothman is a popular subject of folklore and urban legends in Florida. It is often featured in campfire stories and ghost tours. The creature has also been the subject of several books and documentaries. In recent years, there have been reports of the Mothman being seen in Florida Cavern State Park and Red Reef Park.
Hmm.
Whether or not the Mothman is real, there is no doubt that it is a fascinating creature. The legend of the Mothman is a reminder of the mystery and wonder that it still exists in the world around us.
Yeah.
Could Mothman be a product of a special chemical accident involving an altruistic botanist caused by a mad outlaw scientist trying to steal his research, and during the heist, an unforeseen accident causes the good guy scientist to be turned into a botanical creature? Oh, wait. That would be the plot of the 1982 film Swamp Thing. That is actually a good film.
Is it?
Yeah, it's actually recently turned into a series not too long ago.
Huh?
Yeah. I would like to end on a couple of Native American legendary cryptids. I'm highlighting this because I respect the Native American culture, and I think more people need to hear about them.
Okay.
The Thunderbird is a legendary creature in the mythology of many Native American peoples of North America. It is typically depicted as a giant bird with a wingspan that can blot out the sun. The flapping of its wings is said to cause thunder and lightning flashes from its eyes. The Thunderbird is a powerful and awe-inspiring creature, and it plays a variety of roles in Native American mythology. In some stories, it is a creature god that helps to shape the world. In others, it is a protector of humanity from evil spirits and monsters. The Thunderbird is also associated with rain and storms, and it is often invoked in prayer ceremonies to bring rain to drought-stricken lands. It holds various meanings and tales across different tribes and cultures. Here are a few tales about the Thunderbird. The Ojibwe people of the Great Lakes region believed that the Thunderbird is a messenger of the Great Spirit. They say that the Thunderbird's flapping wings create thunder and lightning, and that its tears fall as rain. The Ojibwe people also believe that the Thunderbird protects the people from evil spirits. The Menominee people of Wisconsin believe that the Thunderbird lives on a floating mountain in the western sky. They say that the Thunderbird controls the weather and brings rain to the earth. The Menominee people also believe that the Thunderbird is a powerful protector of the people. The Navajo people of the Southwest believe that the Thunderbird is a giant eagle that lives in the sky. They say that the Thunderbird's flapping wings create thunder and lightning, and that its tears fall as rain. The Navajo people also believe that the Thunderbird is a powerful protector of people and a bringer of fertility. See, most of them believe pretty much the same thing. So, yeah.
Yeah.
In Haida mythology, the Thunderbird is considered a powerful and noble creature that was often in conflict with whales.
Oh.
The Thunderbird would fight against giant sea creatures like whales, representing the battle between air and water and the ongoing cycle of life and death.
Oh, I didn't know there was a battle between air and water.
Yeah, it's wild.
Fascinating.
In one popular legend, the Thunderbird is said to have battled the giant whale that was terrorizing the coastal villages.
Hmm.
The Thunderbird eventually defeated the whale and brought its body to shore, providing the villagers with a feast. That is pretty wild. Pretty cool.
Yeah.
According to Salish legend, a great chief and his wife were turned into Thunderbirds to save their tribe from a monstrous creature that was terrorizing them.
Hmm.
As Thunderbirds, they were able to defeat the monster and protect their people. The Thunderbirds then took to the skies, where they continued to protect and watch over the tribe. Several tribes along the Pacific coast have stories linking the Thunderbird to the abundance of salmon.
Okay.
The Thunderbird is said to have a close relationship with the salmon and is credited with ensuring a bountiful salmon harvest each year, providing essential sustenance for the people.
Yeah.
These
and
tales.
Tasty fish.
Yeah, they are. These tales reflect the reverence and respect that indigenous cultures have for nature and its powerful forces. The Thunderbird symbolizes strength, protection, and a harmonious relationship between humans and the natural world in many indigenous traditions.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
So, is a Thunderbird a cryptid? Or is it more mythical, like a fair, which I'm not saying that that makes it any less real, but like fairies or elves or...
Like I said, the definition of cryptid
Okay, so we're going off a broad definition.
Yeah, it's basically a broad definition, yeah. But that as means. Far as indigenous peoples go, it's their something, it's a god or deity, yeah.
Okay.
So,
because it kind of reminded me a little bit of like Thor meets Poseidon,
yeah,
in a way. Like, I only name those two because that's what my brain related them to, not for any other reason.
I want to say it's basically a protecting deity or protecting god type creature,
yeah.
So, yeah, that's pretty cool. I actually enjoyed looking up indigenous stuff. I might, you know, get in more into that. As far as stories go, I enjoy that, and people need to know about their stories.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think too many people think of Native Americans as like one collective group. Like,
yeah.
We think of Native Americans as like British people, like in terms of it's just one group when really it's hundreds of groups.
They're different groups, different.
I'm just saying, like, colonizers don't differentiate that it's like, oh, they know Cherokee and maybe one other, like,
it's crazy.
Name of a group of, I'm not articulating very well.
Yeah.
But you know what I'm saying?
That's pretty crazy. Yeah. Yeah. And my final cryptid is a malevolent creature from Algonquian folklore. It is often depicted as a cannibalistic, emaciated humanoid with an insatiable hunger for human flesh. This creature is associated with winter and famine and is considered a cautionary tale against greed and excess. The Wendigo is a legendary creature that originated in the folklore of Algonquian-speaking tribes in North America. The word Wendigo comes from an Algonquian word meaning evil spirit.
Okay.
The Wendigo is typically depicted as a malevolent, cannibalistic spirit or creature associated with winter, famine, and the supernatural. It is often described as a gaunt, emaciated being with elongated limbs and antlers or other animal-like features. The Wendigo is said to have an insatiable hunger for human flesh and is believed to possess individuals, driving them to commit acts of cannibalism. The Wendigo is known for its insatiable hunger for human flesh, especially during times of extreme cold and famine. It is said to possess supernatural speed and strength, allowing it to hunt and capture its victims. It is also believed to have the ability to mimic human voices, luring people into the wilderness.
Yes.
According to the legend, a person can become a Wendigo through various means, often involving acts of cannibalism or extreme greed. Those who resort to eating human flesh, particularly in desperate situations, are thought to be at risk of becoming possessed by the Wendigo spirit.
Interesting.
Transforming into one of these vicious creatures.
It's interesting that it's specifically differentiating between those who resort to cannibalism out of desperation and those who just are evil and choose to do cannibalism.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's fascinating to me.
In the 19th and early 20th centuries, there were reports of a phenomenon known as the Wendigo psychosis. Among some indigenous communities in northern regions, this was a condition in which individuals believed they were turning into Wendigos and felt an uncontrollable urge to consume human flesh.
Fascinating.
To prevent this, some communities would resort to exorcism rituals or even execution of the afflicted individuals.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
It's like a... And I mean this in, like, the most literal way. It's like a witch hunt.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the most infamous cases of the Wendigo legend comes from the story of Swift Runner, a Cree trapper in Canada in the 19th century. In the winter of 1878, Swift Runner and his family were starving in the wilderness, despite being near a trading post with access to food. Swift Runner resorted to cannibalism and murdered and ate his wife and children. When authorities discovered the gruesome scene, he was arrested and later executed. His case is often cited as an example of the Wendigo legend influencing real-life tragedies. In the depths of a harsh Canadian winter, a group of friends set out on a camping trip in a secluded forest. As the days grew shorter...
Why are people so stupid?
That's what people do.
In the middle of winter in Canada, let's go camping.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, I don't know. I can't relate to, like, outdoorsy stuff like that.
It's pretty wild.
People that climb mountains, like the Everest.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
Yeah, there are so many bodies on Everest that they use as markers. That's pretty wild.
They don't use them as markers. I mean... You get to know who's there, but they can't take them down. It's too dangerous.
Yeah.
So, like, when you climb Everest, you know if you die, you're a part of the mountain.
Yeah. It's pretty crazy.
Anyway.
As the days
Sorry.
As the days grew shorter and the nights colder, they felt the eerie presence of something unnatural lurking in the shadows. One evening, they sat around the campfire sharing stories and laughter. Suddenly... A bone-chilling howl pierced the air. The flames danced wildly, casting eerie shadows. They dismissed it as a trick of the wind, but fear began to creep into their hearts. The next day, one of the friends, Tom, went missing. They searched frantically but found no trace. Desperation grew as the days passed, and soon they realized they were not alone. Footprints in the snow hinted at an otherworldly creature, tall, emaciated, and haunting.
How do footprints tell you it's emaciated?
I don't know. It's a story, babe.
I'm just saying.
Terrified, they tried to flee, but the Wendigo's curse had already taken hold. It whispered in their ears, stoking their primal fears and hunger. As they turned on each other in a frenzy of madness and hunger, they became the very monsters they feared. The Wendigo legend serves as a cautionary tale against cannibalism and the dangers of greed and excess. It has been used by Native American communities to discourage such behaviors and promote cooperation, sharing, and respect for the natural world. The Wendigo has made its way into popular culture, appearing in literatures, films, television shows, and video games. Its portrayal varies, with some works emphasizing its supernatural horror aspects, while others explore its cultural and psychological dimensions. In modern interpretations, the Wendigo is sometimes used as a metaphor for various societal issues, including environmental destruction, consumerism, and the destructive nature of unchecked ambition. Overall, the Wendigo is a complex and enduring legend in Native American folklore, offering insights into cultural values and fears while continuing to captivate the imagination of people around the world. If you encountered any of these cryptids, would it make you afraid-ish?
Yeah. I mean, I'm honestly, I don't believe spirits can really hurt you. I mean, they can psychologically, I guess, if you allow them to, like if you don't deal with it, but they can't really hurt you physically.
That but you know of.
Cryptids. There's something else, man.
Yeah. It's like, it's wild how stuff like that can cause you to like your emotions to change like that, to turn on other people or to like, I don't know how to explain it.
I mean, it's kind of a classic, like, and I'm using the broadest definition here, broad strokes, demon behavior.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
pretty wild.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's those are my cryptid stories for this week.
Very interesting. You were kind of hyping this episode up to me, and you were telling me that there was one that I wasn't gonna like.
Yeah, I changed it from the other one to the Wendigo.
Oh, yeah. What was it originally?
The oh my god, my mind is blank.
Skinwalker?
Yeah, Skinwalker.
What made you go with Wendigo over Skinwalker?
Just something different. Because the Ozark Howler, I feel like, might be like a Skinwalker type.
Oh, okay. I can see that.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I went with Wendigo.
Why did you think I wouldn't?
I don't know.
I'd be too afraid of Skinwalker.
I always hype these up too much.
No, I just... I'm curious about your thought process. That's all.
Because from what I read and then what I put down, it's just a little different.
Okay.
So it's like, I don't know.
All right.
The way I put it down isn't as scary. So.
Okay.
Yeah, I hope everybody enjoyed that. It was really fun researching these.
I'm glad you had
like
fun.
The Moss Man. I had no idea. I mean, it makes sense.
I'm just picturing some old dude in a camouflage suit.
Yeah.
Which, like, there was one at Relics Flea Market.
Yeah.
And, like, is in a booth. I think it was near the coffee booth, but I'm not positive.
I think I've seen it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, is that a moss suit?
Yeah. Like, I think from the movie Swamp Thing, mm-hmm. he's supposed to be like a superhero.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's why they make it. The series is basically the superhero.
Okay.
Like the other superhero. I don't know.
Okay. I thought it was a monster. I've never seen it, so I don't know anything.
It's been since... I haven't seen it since the 90s, so I don't know.
Do you know why Spanish moss is called Spanish moss?
No. Because it comes from Spain?
No. No, because it's native to Central America, the Caribbean, West Indies, and Southern North America.
Gotcha.
But it was named Spanish moss. I almost said Swedish moss. It was named Spanish moss because the Native American, what the indigenous term for it was translated to tree beard.
Oh, tree beard.
Yes. But the French saw it and thought, gee, that reminds us of the beards the Spanish conquistadors wear. Huh. So then they called it Spanish beard, and now we call it Spanish moss.
That's so cool. Yeah.
Kind of hate the name, but.
Yeah, well. A lot of white people name shit.
That was already named. Discover things that had already been discovered.
Yeah. And rename it like ridiculous stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Colonization.
Yes. Anything else?
Nope.
I hope everybody liked this episode. We're going to continue next week with our Halloween series, part 3. And that would be Ashley's episode. Yeah.
Yep.
I'll do the five fun facts like I did last week. And
good luck. Just kidding.
I've already got it done.
Oh.
Don't worry. It's just the one after that.
Oh.
I need to get. So, yeah. If you have any stories or requests of anything you want to hear about or know anyone who does, please email me at afraidishpodcast@gmail.com. Email me anything because I like to...
Email him. Email him. No dick pics. Just email him.
Calm down. Anyways. Instagram and Facebook at Afraidish Podcast. You can message me there too. Tell me what haunted locations you want to hear about or any paranormal thing. Because I'm looking for more haunted locations.
Yep.
And I know listeners would want to hear about what they want to hear about. So, yeah. All the links for this will be in the show notes. I do have this on YouTube as audio, but not video yet. You can listen on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Pandora, and almost anywhere you listen to podcasts. Also rate and review on Apple Podcasts and rate on Spotify. 5 stars, please. Because, you know what? That'll get me out there to have more listeners. And if I don't have more listeners, I'm not going to say that. I was going to say it's almost almost not worth doing this, but I like doing it, so I'm still going to do it.
I mean, yeah, do your hobby for you, not for other people.
Yeah, even though I get 14 listens per episode.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, anyways. I'm still going to do this.
In an oversaturated market like podcasts?
Yeah, I'm still going to do this no matter how many listens I get. So,
what's the best that can happen?
Yeah. You can now support this show on it with a small monthly donation to help sustain future episodes. This will help with updating recording equipment and other necessities for the podcast. Then I'll get around to getting Patreon and up and running, and you can support us that way. A link for that will be in the show notes. I am about to start a merch store and would love feedback about what kind of merch you guys want.
Do you want hats? You want shirts? Yeah. You want sweatshirts? You want scarves? You want underwear? Socks?
Hoodies?
Spoons?
Yeah.
I'm being silly.
What? Anything
but you're spoons. Looking at me too seriously. Underwear? Okay. You want people walking around with Afraidish Podcast on their crotches?
Well...
And they're banana hammocks.
Whatever gets the word out. I don't know.
Oh my God.
Exploring the unknown and mysterious is always interesting, just like trying a new flavor of an adult beverage. Like a cryptid, the taste may be unfamiliar initially, but discovering something unique and exciting makes it worth the adventure. Until next time, don't be afraid of the dark.
Be afraid-ish of what's in it.
Bye.
Bye.
Could Mothman be a product of a special chemical accident involving an altruistic botanist caused by a mad outlaw scientist trying to steal his research, and during the heist, an unforeseen accident causes the good guy scientist to be turned into a botanical creature? Oh, wait. That would be the plot of the 1982 film Swamp Thing.